In April of 2020, the unemployment rate in Syracuse, New York spiked to an unheard of 17%.
I think that it's been widely covered and widely understood that there is a staffing shortage.
The nature of work is changing. The pandemic has made a lot of people do remote work.
The facts, the figures, the stories of our community.
We're looking at ourselves as a city and ourselves as workers in a different way.
This is City Limits, a working dilemma.
Welcome to City Limits. I'm Katie Zolkowski. As we all know, the pandemic made potholes of the little cracks that existed in our systems, making them gaping holes that we have to pay attention to. And one of those holes is childcare. For employers, childcare is an acutely important issue. They need workers in this really tight labor market, but many working parents are either inhibited from taking certain jobs due to their childcare situation or have to take time off work to deal with childcare issues. A 2019 report by Childcare Aware of America says around 65% of parents had to modify their work schedules an average of 7.5 times over a six-month period due to childcare challenges. That same report found that U.S. businesses lose around $12.7 billion a year due to employees' childcare breakdowns. So childcare is increasingly becoming recognized as not just something that affects those who need it and work in it, but as a central economic issue that affects the entire community. But here's the thing about childcare in central New York.
So it was really in a crisis before the pandemic.
That's Lori Shacko, Executive Director of Childcare Solutions.
But we're in worse shape now than we were prior to the pandemic.
Because working in childcare isn't easy. The pandemic brought additional stress and risk to a job that's already challenging. Many educators are paid minimum wage, which is $13.20 per hour.
Teachers then deciding that, you know, I can make a lot more money working at a fast food restaurant or, you know, someplace else, other service industry. I'm not going back into childcare. There's too much risk involved, not enough pay, and it's, you know, the likelihood that the pay is going to significantly increase is really bad.
Now, this isn't just a Central New York issue, but it's an issue here all the same. Educators are leaving the field as people head back to work, and New York State is launching programs to make childcare more affordable. So more families are looking for care, but there's not enough supply to meet the current demand. Working towards the fix, federal, state, and local governments alike are trying to encourage new people to make childcare a career and support existing providers.
Yes.
All right, Josh LeGros.
Providers like Joshua LeGros.
I'm the executive director for Learn As You Grow.
Learn As You Grow was started by Joshua's parents as a home-based center at their family home in Eastwood.
And now we see about 1,000 children a day.
Learn As You Grow operated throughout the pandemic, between shutdowns, changing regulations, and now in this highly competitive labor market.
I'm sure there are some industries that are insulated from this kind of labor crisis that we find ourselves in. Childcare is not. We're the same thing as a school district as far as finding teachers, as finding teachers' aid. It's been very hard to find not only good staff, but qualified staff.
He repeated something along the lines of what Lori said earlier, that they're competing for employees with places like Target.
Or I may go to McDonald's, or I may go to Delta Sonic. Not anything against those businesses, but if we want to keep people in education, we've got to figure out a way to change.
Everyone I talked to for this piece agreed that wages need to improve in order to strengthen the childcare system. To address this, New York State announced two rounds of childcare stabilization grants. The first round was in August of 2021. The second round opened applications on July 5th of this year.
And they could use that for workforce supports like payroll or bonuses or healthcare insurance and those kinds of things. They could use it for minor repairs to their facilities, purchasing additional equipment to help keep the children safe. They could use it for mental health services for both staff and children if necessary.
Childcare Solutions reports 364 providers in Onondaga County received over $15 million in grants over a six-month period. Learn As You Grow was on that list.
We applied for all six of our licenses. We got it at all six of our licensed centers. or we're approved for it, and we're going to turn that money right around and give it back to staff.
75% of an award from the second round of stabilization funds needs to go to payroll. It's specifically targeting the wage issue.
We're like restaurants. We're like any other business. Our margins are very thin. So when we get the opportunity where money comes in like that, we can then turn right around and say, we give it back to staff.
They'll be distributing raises to their teachers and management team between now and the end of the year. Another initiative led by the state is the Child Care Deserts Grant. Lori Schakow explains.
So that was really trying to entice new programs to open in very high child care deserts. So areas where there were at least three or more children under the age of five for every child care slot available. And then they also, the applications also received bonus points if they were in an area that had a high poverty index or a high diversity index. So basically all of Onondaga County and all of the Central New York.
Central New York had the third highest child care desert rate across state regions. The North Country and the Southern Tier ranked first and second, respectively. The desert grants were broken into two rounds. Round one provided funds to open brand new child care facilities within designated desert census tracts, and round two was for existing providers to add capacity.
So daycare centers can apply for $7,000 per new slot for up to 25 slots. School age programs can apply for $2,500 per new slot for up to 25 slots. And then family and group family, the home-based providers, obviously can't add additional seats in their programs, but they can apply for, so family child care can receive up to $14,000.
But due to regulations around child care, it's not as simple as just allowing more kids into a classroom. Joshua LeGros from Learn As You Grow says the desert grants aren't set up for real growth.
You can't expand, you can't build. So the demand right there is that people need child care. But how do we do that when you can't use that money for actual growth? So you could use it for payroll, you could use it for minor kind of things, but it wasn't for actual growth. If it was up to me, and somebody asked me this question the other day, if you were the state of New York and you had all this money and you said, how could you do this? People need childcare centers. I would love to build two more classrooms on this building that we're currently sitting in. I would love to look at some of our other properties and say, we need infant and toddler care in this community. I can't just create that.
Overall, LeGros says there's been great financial support. But he asks himself a question that kept coming up with others as well. What happens after this moment?
I will say some of the initiatives that they started during this time are not sustainable. I look at it and say most child care centers, including myself, use that money to get through COVID. Now it's coming out of COVID, and for a lot of centers, I think you're seeing that money was great to help during that period of time, but now how do I take that money and move forward?
New York State will not be able to provide these types of supports for childcare going forward, and they're just so desperately needed. We have been so underinvested for 50 years in the childcare industry.
So even though resources are flowing, it doesn't mean we've solved the supply issues that we have as a community, the pipeline issues of getting more people into the workforce. So there's a long-term process of, you know, accepting those dollars, but then building a stronger system in response to those dollars.
Mm-hmm. Childcare has been underinvested in for so many decades that while there is a really beautiful kind of historic, unprecedented focus on childcare and funding for our system, we have a long way to go in kind of undoing some of the years of underinvestment to really better support our providers and our community.
Lori Black and Megan Wagner Flynn both work for the Early Childhood Alliance, or EAC, which is a coalition of community stakeholders.
So our vision is that we bring together all the different stakeholders and build a stronger, more effective system supporting children and families so that children are entering school ready.
Lori Black is EAC's executive director. The EAC's goal is to make sure all kids show up ready for kindergarten.
Nationally, about half of kids come ready to kindergarten. And by third grade in Onondaga County, we know that only 40% of kids are reading on grade level, and it's about 22% in our city. So we know we have a early literacy challenge in our schools and an early math challenge. And so what we're doing in Onondaga County is really trying to organize our community and our assets and our resources and local investment in kind of strengthening the infrastructure support for children and families.
Since the EIC formed in 2015, it's been engaging in organizing different facets of the community around the necessity for a strong early childhood system.
The brain development research became very clear in the 90s. We got to understand that the first 5 years of life is the greatest growth period in our brain development. So when we think about, you know, school readiness, or we think about graduation rates, or we think about career readiness, that pipeline starts at birth. And so that's really why our community has organized.
This includes the business community.
They face, you know, a skill shortage in the workforce, but that doesn't start in high school. It didn't start in middle school. It really starts from day one. So why I love the work of the early childhood system is you really have different pieces of the puzzle that you have to kind of bring together. You have to support families. You have to, because so many families are in the workplace, we have to support the workforce that is working to support families, so those child care providers, making sure that we all collectively understand.
But supporting and strengthening that connection requires resources and coordination. Lori points out that not every community has a group or even a person to oversee the local early childhood system. Megan Wagner-Flynn is the EAC's Director of Early Learning Strategy, so she works directly with child care providers. She knows the fragmented nature of the industry makes it hard to create intentional and lasting policy.
Anytime you touch one part of childcare policy, you inevitably create challenges and issues that need to be addressed by other policy shifts and changes. And so without making moves all at once, it's tricky.
So what's the fix? If those working in the industry are looking at this recent infusion of cash from state initiatives as a temporary fix, is there a way to sustainably strengthen the infrastructure? A similar answer came up during these conversations.
We need to invest in universal childcare. We do. When you try and change, New York State has made huge strides in the last year towards, and our county has made its own set of phenomenal investments and strides over the last several years into improving our childcare system. And every time we make a policy change, we're aware that it's still not equitable. It's still not working for everybody. Providers are still not getting paid as much as they need to. It's still too expensive for many, many families. We still don't have enough childcare supply to meet demand, like across the board.
Quite honestly, moving just beyond this, you know, providing assistance for individual families to providing universal childcare for all families, the same way that we provide public school for all families.
We look at our schools so much and say, oh my gosh, we're in this district, what a great district. Wouldn't it be great to say childcare, especially childcare that's partnering with the universal pre-kindergarten programs, that's now just like a school district. Like, we're putting that level of quality education in childcare and early education.
We often like to say, you know, we would love to see the system funded like our K-12 system. Mm-hmm. And so to Megan's point, this under-resourced system, childcare, is treated more, and Lori Shaka from Childcare Solutions talks about this all the time, treated more like a service industry than an educational institution. And so we think of our childcare providers as educators, but we fund them as, you know, minimum wage providers.
Reforming the childcare system in this way would require an influx of cash into a historically underinvested in system. There's a big discrepancy in how much we spend on early childhood education versus the K-12 system.
The average cost of childcare is about $14,000 a year, compared to, again, in the $20,000s and $30,000 that school districts are paying per child. So it just shows you the imbalance and our lack of prioritization of the first 5 years of life of public investment in our children and families, because that return on investment is so incredibly powerful that if we were spending more, we would get better outcomes, and it's better for the community over the long term. There's a quote that says, like, tell me about a child's first 5 years of life and I'll tell you about that child's next 80. I always say, tell me about a community's investment in the first 5 years of life and I'll tell you about that community's next 80 years. If you're underinvesting in these first 5 years of life, which means investing in children and families, you're gonna have long-term challenges.
But even separate from policy intricacies, framing childcare as an educational institution is a hurdle to overcome in and of itself. Megan from the EAC.
as a nation and as a community, we still sometimes think about our childcare providers and talk about our childcare providers as providers, as you know, some people still use really outdated language of babysitters. That is not at all what our childcare providers are. They're educators. They're fully trained, highly qualified educators.
There's a culture issue on top of the wage issue. Childcare educators and providers often don't feel valued by a system that relies on them. And that cultural issue has an effect on how long people stay in childcare jobs. It's a problem that Joshua LeGros is addressing head on.
We're seeing massive, massive numbers leave the education field because nobody wants to work or put the work in to working with children and families right now. So we need to change that kind of culture and get back to really wanting to make being in education a career choice for somebody.
Joshua says they've retained about 70% of their staff at Learn As You Grow through the pandemic. Through long days, constant change, and continued risk, a majority of his staff chose to stay in childcare.
I think if we were a typical company and not a family business, it may be different. We may have been more prone to say, all right, let's just shut down for a little bit. But the way that my parents started this company, the way that we now run this company, everybody's part of this. Everybody's part of the family. And sometimes that family has a little bit of extra work to do, but we did it together and we got through it. And again, I keep going back to this. You asked the question, how do people stay? Yeah. When people feel like they're invested, like when people feel like they have that sense of pride that they've accomplished something, even if it is at work, they're more prone to want to just be there because they feel proud of themselves and what they've accomplished. And I find that sometimes people don't hear that often enough. They don't hear that they're doing a great job. I can tell you my teachers do a great job. I can tell you my management team does an amazing job.
It feels deceptively simple, but for Joshua and for Learn As You Grow, it works. The average time of employment for teachers is 2 to 5 years. Some have even been there decades.
When I look at it and I say 70% of our staff stayed during COVID, and I look at it and I say, of those 70%, you know, if you went to survey them and said, hey, do you still want to continue to work here? They would, because there's other jobs out there. You can go find other stuff right now, and you can job hunt, and you can job hop if you want to, and make the same amount of money, and maybe have less stress. But instilling that sense of pride that says you are making a difference, that you are part of this whole process, right? When people feel that investment, they're going to want to give it back.
Learn As You Grow is hiring at the moment, and Joshua says he's committed to being not only competitive in the labor market through wages, but creating a culture where his employees feel like they're making a difference.
A big part for me right now is getting back to those basics that say, what does high quality childcare really look like? And I think when you do that and you do it the right way, staff want to stay, children benefit from it, families benefit from it. And as a company, would I love to build another building? Absolutely. But what we have right now in front of us is a challenge that says, let's get these kids back on track after COVID. Let's help these families find ways that they can get into high quality childcare and not be priced out of it, or not be, you know, have to go 30 miles to find it. Let's really focus in on taking what we have right now as a childcare system in this county and making it the best we can.
For City Limits, I'm Katie Zilkowski.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more information about the project or listen to archived episodes at citylimitsproject.org.